And we're thankful for a wonderful Christmas season, even in the midst of a different year. Can we say it that way? It's been a different year. But, oh, I want to thank the Lord that He is still Emmanuel. He is still with us. He is still near us. Amen. He still knows what we're going through. He sees what we're facing, and I feel His presence here today. Amen. I wonder if we could stand and just love the Lord right now. Would you lift your hands and just magnify Him? Lord, we love You. We praise You. We give You glory. We give You honor today. You are so worthy, Lord. We thank You, Jesus, for Your love to us. We thank You for Your sacrifice for us. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence that we feel here today. And Lord, we are not alone, but we're thankful for Your Spirit, for the infilling of the Holy Ghost that dwells in our lives, Lord, and gives us strength and gives us comfort and peace and joy. We thank You for it today, and we worship You, O God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Well, it's great to see everybody here today. If you would turn with me to Lamentations chapter 4, I do plan on preaching today. I know it's a little bit different service, and sometimes we do different things, but I feel something on my heart today, and I believe it's fitting with this season of revival that we're in. We're thankful for a great season of revival. We're thankful for the revival services that we've been having, but more than that, it's a season of revival. It's not just a couple of services where we have an evangelist come, but it's a season where God is moving and blessing and adding to the church, and it's an exciting time to be a part of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. I do want to thank you for your giving last week as we made a special offering for Brother Gordon Poe's ministry. And I do want to thank you for your sacrifice. There was many that just felt like giving, and he was so overwhelmed and wanted me to communicate to you his thankfulness. And he said this was just a wonderful end to it's been a crazy season for evangelists, that's for sure. And he said this was something that made just a special Christmas possible for their family. And so they wanted to extend their thanks to our church. And we're looking forward to having them back whenever possible. But thank you for giving. Thank you for sacrificing. Thank you. I do not believe that God will let that return void, but that it was a seed sown into the kingdom of God for revival, and that God is going to bless that. And I believe He's going to bless our church with revival. I do. There's something about giving. There's something about sacrificial giving that breaks bondage, it breaks yokes, it brings a breakthrough in the Spirit, and I believe that is what happened last week. So thank you for responding, amen. Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 1, Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 1, how is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? I want to talk to you on this subject today, bringing back the glow. Bringing back the glow. Would you ask God to talk to your heart today? Thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your Spirit, for the wonderful, wonderful atmosphere we feel in this house today. And I pray, God, that you would move and touch every life, that you would minister to every heart, that you would work in us, Lord, as we receive your Spirit, as we receive your Word and the work that you want to do in us. We pray, Lord, that you would revive us today. In Jesus' name, we give you all of the praise right now. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Vincent van Gogh, the Dutch painter, led a terribly tragic life. Killed by a gunshot wound at only the age of 37, it was thought by some to have been self-inflicted. His paintings were never a success during his lifetime. He was considered a madman and a failure. But after his death, his work became quite famous, and it's become a popular success. Today, Van Gogh's works are among some of the world's most expensive paintings to have ever been sold. Color is quite important in his paintings. In fact, when most people think of his work, the first color that comes to mind is a warm, radiant, golden yellow. Yellow sunflowers or yellow fields of grain, a yellow moon and yellow stars. Although this was a change from his early works, which consistently featured dark grays and browns and greens. But over the years, there was a shift from dark to light. And many have studied and have questioned and had wondered the reasons. Some feel that Van Gogh suffered from a medical condition caused by glaucoma, which brought a yellowing in his vision, and that was influenced in his paintings. And others feel that the change could have been influenced by his move to a sunnier climate. Van Gogh is quoted to once have said, "How wonderful yellow is. It stands for the sun." It definitely seems that for his artwork, yellow was the color of hope. One of his paintings depicts the Bible scene, the raising of Lazarus. They have that today. They'll display it right now. And if you will notice with me in the face of Lazarus there, the artist places his own face on Lazarus there, on the man that Jesus raised from the dead. And the yellow brings, it tells a story. It brings hope that life can begin again. In another famous piece, The Starry Night, the color yellow, it brings warmth to that cold painting, and it dominates the scene. But even with yellow representing hope in a dark world, it's said that it's important to notice, if you look closely, that the church pictured there at the bottom of that painting, it has no yellow in its windows as some of the other buildings had. And at the time of this painting, Van Gogh apparently did not have the view of the church as being a place of hope. Whether we see things literally or figuratively, the fact is that many people today, just like this painting, just like back in that day, many have lost their source of hope. The glow has disappeared from their life. Their world is shrouded in darkness, and the light is missing. But for us today in the church, our most important task is to make sure that the windows are opened. We've got to make sure the windows are clean from dust and dirt that would somehow dim the light. And to be sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ, it burns ever so brightly in us, so that unlike that painting by Van Gogh, the glow can emanate from us. The warmth of God's glory can radiate from our lives to bring light to the world around us. You have a purpose. You have a calling. We have a blessed hope today that the love of Jesus Christ, the hope that salvation brings, can be like a warm light radiating from us as we are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1 reads, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." But verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." God sends word to Ephesus, to the church. He says, oh, I know your works. I've seen your labor, your patience. I see that all that you are doing, but I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. You've walked away from your first love. You're getting further and further away from the light. And so far, in fact, that the candlestick may need to be removed. You see, the church, we as the church, we must get back to Jesus. We must get back close to him so that we can get back that glow. We need the glow back. We need to tell the world of the blessed hope they can find in Jesus. The greatest thing in all the world, the fact that Jesus came. He was born in a manger and became our Savior so that we can all have hope and so that the sun can shine again. Hallelujah. We got to bring back the glow. We got to bring back the glory. We got to bring back the light of Jesus Christ for all to see. After all, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, Lord, let your light shine through us. We want to be the light of the world. We want to be a city that's set on a hill that can't be hid. Don't you cover that light up. Don't you let that hope be diminished. But you let your light shine. You let it shine for all to see so God can be glorified. Somebody needs to bring back the glow. You need to bring back the light. You need to realize the hope that God has placed in you and show it to all the world. In our text today, we read in Lamentations 4, how is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the works of the hands of the potter? The gold has become dim. It's lost its luster. Fine gold has now become dull and it's been tarnished and it's changed from what it once was. It once was bright and brilliant, beaming, radiant, and glowing. But now it's dull and dim. It's dismal and faded. That's not how gold should be. The prophet goes on, the precious sons of Zion, the children of God, comparable to fine gold. They're valuable, they're precious, they're comparable to fine gold, and now they're treated just like earthen pitchers. They're considered just like pots of clay made by a common artist instead of priceless treasures. And it's in this passage that we see ourselves as God intends us to be. We are his precious children. He sees us as gold, as fine gold, as something that is priceless, something that is radiant, something that is glorious. Oh, let me tell someone today, God sees you as something absolutely special. You are his creation. He took time in making you. He made you different than anybody else because God made a custom version of you. There's nobody like you because you are precious to him and he has a special work for you to do. We need to see ourselves as God sees us, not how we see us, not how others see us, but not how we feel about ourselves, but how does God see us? We are precious in his sight. We are a glorious work. We are a priceless work of art. Hallelujah. But in this passage, we also see the work of the enemy. He hates what God has made. He can't stand the handiwork of God. We are made in the image of God, and the devil hates that. So that's why he wants to change us from what God has made us to be. Oh, the work of the enemy in our lives is to change us so that the gold that we were created to be now becomes dimmed. to the point that we're no different than the clay pots around us. And we just fit in with all the rest. And there really isn't anything special about us, but we're just another clay pot. That's not how God made us to be, but that's the work of the enemy. I wish that we could see this here today. I've watched this happen time and time again. A beautiful, righteous young lady, a godly, handsome young man. They're filled with the Spirit. They are used of God. They're blessed and highly favored as gold, as fine gold. But the enemy somewhere along the way starts to work. And somehow they get discouraged and they get disillusioned and they start believing the lies of the enemy. And they start thinking, well, I would be better off if I was just out in the world. And that young lady, she sheds the garments of holiness to put on the things of the world. And that young man stops walking in truth and follows after worldliness. They believe the lies of the enemy and they chase after the things of the world. They leave what was a priceless treasure. It was priceless. And they chased after the things of the world because of the lie of the enemy. They chase after something that's just a cheap clay pot. It's nothing special. It's just like all the others. But that's what they trade something priceless for. And when that once young lady was once beautiful, she had the glory of God upon her. There was a glow literally coming from her. She stood out from all the rest. She was special. She had something unique. Even in natural beauty, she just stood out from all the rest. But now you see her a few years down the road with all the ornaments and things of the world, and the glow is gone. The beauty isn't there anymore. She's just ordinary like all the others in the world. But she gave up the glow. She gave up the radiance. She gave the glory away for what she has now. And it's nothing compared to what she had before. And that young man stood out from the crowd. He was clean cut. He took care of himself. He dressed nice. He didn't do the things of the world. He stood out. And people noticed him. He was special. He was not average. He was not ordinary, but he was different from all the rest with the anointing of God upon his life. But the enemy lured him into his trap, and he believed a lie, and now he's got the filth of the world upon him. He's entrapped with all the things of sin. The glow is gone. The radiance is missing. The luster of the glow has diminished. Now it's just like an ordinary clay pot. We'd better listen today. We'd better pay attention. I've seen it happen time and time again. If we're not careful, we can follow after the lies of the enemy, and we can lose the luster. We can lose the brilliance. We lose that sparkle and that glow, that sheen of something that's more unique than all of the rest. It's what comes from the Spirit of God, and we don't want to lose that. Come on, young people, you don't realize it, but there's something special about you. Oh, come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. You don't realize it, but when the Holy Ghost is upon your life, you shine with the glory of God. There's a brilliance. There's a radiance. There's a luster. More than just how you dress, more than just what you do and what you don't do, the glory of God rests upon you, and you are an example. You are literally the light of the world as the Holy Ghost shines through you. We are made in the image of God, and the enemy hates anything that looks like God. That's why he wants to destroy you. That's why he wants to take away the luster. He wants to take away the glow, so you're just like everybody else. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy today, but let's bring the glow back. Let's bring the glory back. Let's bring back the presence of God. Let's be the light of Jesus Christ in this world. Amen. Throughout the Bible, our walk with God is compared with pure gold. Zechariah spoke of God purifying his people as pure gold. Job knew that after he went through his time of testing that he would come forth as pure gold. Peter said, our faith is more precious than gold. Paul said, our good works are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and it's nothing less than pure gold. Jesus told the church in Laodicea, buy of me gold tried by the fire. If you study the construction of the temple, brass was the metal of the outer court, but the inner court was made with gold. The closer we draw to God, the more precious it is. Don't you trade gold for something common. Don't trade gold for something that's common. God forbid we give up on something that's priceless, something so unique and extraordinary, for something that is common and insignificant. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy that tells you your life with God is not worth it, that your relationship with the Lord is not valuable. I tell you, this is precious. It's as precious as gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for it, God. Oh, God, help me to shed. Let me get rid of the things of the world so that I can shine for you. God, if it's a sacrifice, it's okay. I'll sacrifice. I'll do whatever it takes because I'm trying to be pure gold. I'm trying to get the impurities out of me, Lord. Lord, polish me up so that I can shine. Because in our text we read that gold can lose its luster. Gold can lose its glow. Oh, it is possible that people who believe, people who were once filled with the Spirit, people who were brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, people who were baptized in his name, and they can lose that holy glow. This is actually a controversial subject. Because many believe that once you're saved, that you can never be lost. There's literally been wars fought over this. And people have been burned at the stake over this issue. Some say, well, once saved, always saved. But let's have a little Bible study today. Jesus said in John 8:31, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If. John 8:51, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That word if, it also shows that we have the power to choose. Jesus said, follow me. And those who follow and those who continue to follow are his disciples. Those who go another way, they are not his disciples. And the gold can lose its luster. It can lose the glow that it once had. How can that happen when our faith gets weak? When we forget to pray in the Holy Ghost? When we stop reading the Word of God? When we focus more on the wind and the waves instead of looking in the face of Jesus? The seed is among the thorns, and the thorns are the worries and the cares of this life. And if we're not careful, those thorns can choke out the seed, and they make the gold to lose its shine. It can happen when we get complacent. We can lose our shine. Jesus said we should strive. We should press. We should push. Complacency does none of those. Complacency relaxes. Complacency just goes along with the flow. It drifts along. But I tell you, people don't drift toward holiness. We do not naturally gravitate towards the things of God. We don't naturally drift towards prayer and obedience to the Word of God. We don't just drift there by accident. Oh, no, but complacency. Complacency is well, we would just rather hang out in the foyer and talk instead of come to pre-service prayer. Oh, come on, don't get quiet on me now.
Oh, we'd rather just have a social time instead of a deep searching of our heart. It's more about talking and texting instead of hearing the still, small voice of God. It's coming to church late and leaving early instead of making room for God's presence. I tell you, backsliding doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen suddenly. It's a slow fade. It's the dimming of the gold. It's the losing of the luster. When we get complacent, we can lose our shine. There's a curious quality to gold. When it is bonded with aluminum, there's a brittle compound that can form called purple plague. It's an intermetallic compound. It's something you get when you take something precious and you bond it with something that's ordinary. And now it's not pure. Now it's brittle. Now it's useless. It's not worth what it once was. Yes, gold grows dim when we bond with lesser things. When we link up with the world, when we try to relate with the world, when we try to fit in with the world, when we lower our standards in order to accommodate the world, that's when we lose our glow. Let me tell you, our apostolic identity, our separation from the world, our holiness standards, they're not meant to keep us from something that's good. They're not meant to just hold us back. That's what the enemy will try to tell you. But I tell you, the guardrails are there to protect you. It's to protect us. Amen, amen. The things of the Word of God are meant to protect us from bonding ourselves to something that's cheap and useless. Something that's brittle, something that's worthless. By bonding ourselves with the world and with sin, we lower ourselves to that level. When we compromise our convictions, when we let go of our standards and separation, sometimes there's a momentary sense of freedom. And people think, oh, I'm so free. I can go do anything in the world. I can go party, I can go live it up, I can dress however I want. And they say, oh, we're so free. It's kind of like slipping out of a parachute harness at 10,000 feet. For a moment they say, I'm free. I'm free of the restraints and now nothing's holding me back and I feel exhilarated as I plummet even faster. But that's pretty short-lived, because what we thought was holding us back was what was holding us up. Oh, what we thought was holding us back was actually what was keeping us safe. What we thought was limiting us was actually enabling us to be used by the anointing and the power of God. I want to tell you what, don't you ever think that the standards and the separation from the world and the holiness and the godliness and righteousness, don't you ever think that it's something unnecessary, because the moment that you lose that, you are headed for destruction. You are headed for something that's less than what you were in the kingdom of God. It doesn't happen immediately. But there will come a day when the gold has lost its glow, when the precious stones of the sanctuary are just littered in the streets, and what used to be fine gold is now just like an ordinary clay pot. Because unless we're distinct and different from the world, then we're of no use to the kingdom of God. If the light is hid under a bushel, then what good are we? How can we light the way for the world? But we've got to bring back the glow, and we've got to stand out in darkness, and we've got to be an example of the love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Paul said, you need to be fervent in the spirit. Another translation says we should have our spirits aglow. Another translation says maintain the spiritual glow. Isn't that awesome? We need to be fervent in the spirit. We need to be on fire in the spirit. We need to have our spirits aglow. We've got to maintain the spiritual glow. Oh, we've got to polish the gold so that our faith grows. And if our faith grows, then people can see it. They can feel it. They can sense it. They know there's something different about us. Paul talked about stirring up that gift that is within us. Gold doesn't glow just because it's polished, but its glow comes from the inside. And that's the same way with us. We don't glow because we dress up on the outside. No, we glow because there's something on the inside. Oh, we need to be filled with the Spirit, but not just once. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God for pouring out His Spirit on some here this past week. But just one time is not enough. We need to have that experience every day. We need to talk in tongues every day. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost every day. To never let the fire go out, but to stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. Oh, I wonder if there'd be somebody right now that you just stand and lift up your hands and you would let the Holy Ghost just kind of stir up that gift in you as it brings back the glow, as it brings back the Holy Ghost, as it brings back the Spirit of God, as it brings back the fire. Come on, maintain that spiritual glow. Maintain that spiritual fire. Lord, let it burn in me. Let it work in me. Let it shine from me, oh God. Let your Spirit fill me today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, stir up the gift. Stir up that gift. I need to be full of the Holy Spirit. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost and fire. I've got to burn so everybody can see. I want people to feel it. I want people to see it in me. I want people to know there's a difference about my life because of the glow that comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. In closing today, I've come to tell you God wants to bring back the glow. God wants to bring back the glow. This has been a trying year. This has been a crazy year. There's been a lot that's been happening this year, but God wants to bring back the glow. He wants to bring back that anointing. He wants you to be full of His presence, full of His glory, full of His Spirit, so everybody around you can see the glow of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this new year, I'm praying that this church, the precious people of this assembly, that we would be set on fire like never before. Oh, I know this world is a dark place. And I know a lot of the things we went through this last year, it made it even darker, but that just means you're going to shine even brighter. Come on, somebody. Maybe it's been a little long since you witnessed to someone. Maybe it's been a long time since you brought somebody to church. Let's bring back the glow. Let's bring back the glow. Let's let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn bright again. Let's be a witness for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. If they'll dim the rest of the lights, we're going to have a candlelight service. And if you just wait just a moment, I want my family to join me here on the platform. And I want them to turn off the rest of those lights in the house. And here's what I want us to do. In just a moment, when we turn on our candle, I want us to believe together, agree together, that when our candle lights in just a moment, that we are a reflection of God's glory. We're a reflection of Him along with His power, along with His anointing and His authority and everything that goes with that. That means victory and healing and deliverance and His wisdom and His power. If we're reflecting that from the Lord, then that means it's working in us. So whatever you need here today, if you need victory in your life, I want you to believe that when we turn this light on in just a minute, we are reflecting the victory that God has purchased for us. It's flowing through us. It's giving us strength. It's giving us the ability to overcome everything of this world. If you need healing in your body, then I want you to claim in just a moment when we turn these candles on that we are now reflecting His healing that was purchased for us by His stripes that were shed for us. And not only is it going to touch our bodies, but it's going to flow through us. So when we meet people on the street and we see people at work or wherever it might be, not only are we going to be healed, but they're going to be healed. They're going to be touched by His presence, and His power is going to be reflected and flow through us. Amen. If they'll turn those lights off. Amen. Amen. Starts out sometimes small, but when it grows, it gets brighter. Just one candle can be seen for miles if it's dark enough. But as people join in, the light becomes brighter, more powerful, more easily seen. And in the city of Springfield, it's not just one light. It's not just two. It's not just three or four, but there's people all over this city that we're going to let our light shine. We're bringing the glow back. Oh, Lord, move through us. Work through us, Lord. Let Your power, let it be reflected through us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, that figuratively and literally You would let Your glory radiate through our lives. Let it be brilliant, Lord. Let the luster come back, Lord. Bring back the glow right now. Bring back that shiny presence of Your Spirit, oh God. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, I believe this is going to be a turning point for someone right now. It's going to be a turning point for your life because the light is now going to glow. It's going to shine through you, and God's Spirit is going to work through you in a mighty way. I pray that You would bring victory right now. I pray that You bring deliverance right now. I pray that You would give wisdom right now. Let people overcome things of sin. Let them have victory in their life. I pray that You would bring healing. All the healing that You purchased for us. I speak healing in this house in Jesus' name. I speak life here today in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God, I pray that You will let there be something quickened in us today. Let there be a spark started in us today, Lord, so that we don't keep this glorious truth to ourselves. Lord, don't let us hide this light under a bushel, but let us Let us let it shine brightly so all the world can see. In this next year, God, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us to reach people for you. Help us, Lord, to see people's lives turned around for you. Help us, Lord, to be a light that shines for all around us to see your glory, God, that it would bring you glory and honor and praise, I pray in Jesus' name. Just in this candlelight service, I want us to sing a couple of songs. And I know we've had some Christmas music up until now, but we're going to sing some old favorites together. Is that all right?